الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus class. I am your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. Those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's topic or subject will be breaking our covenant with Allah, meaning breaking our treaty, breaking our agreement with Allah. So what do I mean by that? I'm going to give you the shortest version of it, and that is we're talking about the covenant, the agreement, the treaty with Allah. Is that Allah had taken in the loins of the fathers of the people when he asked, meaning all of mankind, that we're here today. People from yesterday and people born tomorrow, he took all of us and he asked the question, am I not your Lord? And they said, or we said, yes. Yes, you are our Lord. And so our Lord is a very just Lord, and that he's not going to punish us and say, worship me as God. But then again, never gives the opportunity to even say, yes, I will worship you for God as God. I'm sorry. Or no, I will not worship you as God. And so even atheists, everyone said, yes, you are our Lord. You are our God. You are our creator. So we had the agreement, all of us, that yes, you are our God, and that we will obey you and follow what you say, and don't disobey you and not follow what you say. And so, one of the saying the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing upon him, he turned to us, it was said by one companion, he turned to us and said, O Muhajirin, Muhajirin are those people who went from Mecca to Medina. Those are the ones that made the hijrah, the journey from Mecca, where they were being boycotted against, they were harassed, they were beaten, all kinds of things happened to them. So they left there and went to a place where they could worship more freely. And they went from Mecca, where they couldn't worship freely, to Medina, where they could worship freely. And so he said, O Muhajirin, there are five things with which you will be tested. And I seek refuge with Allah, lest you live to see them. Immorality never appears amongst the people to such an extent that they commit it openly. And so let's stop there for a second. For example, we talk about zina, Z-I-N-A, or fornication, or adultery. People are doing that more and more open. We see it in movies, on social media. So we see it all over the place. It's presented in a positive way. Or the people are loot. They use a man on man, a woman on woman, that sort of thing. And so that whole town, those towns, I believe was seven of them or so, that they were destroyed by, for example, Angel Jibril. He tucked his wing, tip of his wing underneath the village or the town, and picked them up from the ground, turned them upside down, and then smashed them to the ground. And he did that several times to those towns where people were doing things that were immorality, or they were immoral. And even nowadays, to be married is not a big deal. Go and have sex outside of marriage is a better thing for you than, say, for example, getting married. People don't want to have that piece of paper, meaning the marriage certificate, and they don't want that piece of paper and get married properly. But they can go ahead and have the sex with the individual, have children with the individual, that's okay. It used to be a time where a person being a virgin was a big deal. And a person not being a virgin, meaning having sex, for example, before they marry, and so people who had sex before they were married, these people were called a bad people. But now, if you're a virgin, you are now the bad person, and you're not the bad person. You wait until you get married, and then you have sex with the individual that you're married to, and this is much better for you. But now people are openly and saying it's okay to commit zina and have sex before marriage, and this is one of the things we're talking about, that the five things with which you will be tested. And he said, "I seek refuge with Allah, lest you live to see them." And the first one, as I mentioned, was immorality will never appear among a people to such an extent that they commit it openly. So let's move on. What was the next thing? But plagues and diseases that were never known amongst the predecessors will spread amongst them. Meaning, for example, just amongst us as of this episode, and some diseases that weren't necessarily among people before us. For example, we had the monkeypox, POX, and mad cow disease, AIDS, swine flu, and of course, as of this episode, the coronavirus or COVID-19. With COVID-19, people all over the world were impacted by it. No matter where you went in the world, people were impacted by COVID-19, and it just spread and spread and took a lot of people's lives. Even to this day, some people have what is called long-term COVID. They are still impacted by COVID. Some of their organs does not function the way they used to function because of this particular disease. Islamically, what happens is that if there's a disease or plague in one particular city, say it was, for example, where I am, I can't leave that city because I have to stay in the city where the plague is. But if I know a plague is taking place in another city, I am not allowed Islamically to go to that city where they have this plague going on. So these are some of the things that we are not allowed to do when you're talking about the types of the diseases and plague that may be taking place where I am, I stay, or where it's someplace else. I do not go to that particular place. And so, like I mentioned several diseases, and maybe some diseases that you all could think of that I have not mentioned. That say, for example, 50 years ago, 100 years ago or more, people did not know anything about those diseases or did not experience those particular diseases. Even to today, COVID-19 is still, as to this particular episode, is still impacting people. For 2 years or so, it impacted a lot of people, took a lot of people's lives. But even now, to this particular episode, people are still being impacted by COVID-19 and catching COVID-19. Maybe that's not as serious as before, but they still are catching the COVID-19. And again, you're talking about plagues and diseases that were never known among the predecessors will spread amongst them. So these are the things that we'll be tested with. I named two of them so far. So let's go to another one. That they do not cheat in measures and weight in measures, but they will be stricken with famine. Keep in mind, for example, in other words, people cheating other people, and they're supposed to be giving them something, and they don't get them what they're supposed to get. Are they going to weigh something on a scale, and they might put the finger on the scale to make it seem heavier than it is? Or a person in the market, for example, I'm talking about markets, because these are the places where a lot of times this honesty take place, although it takes place in other places, but these are some of the places that where this honesty take place when you're talking about weights and measures. Or a person, for example, they put 7 oranges inside a bag and put it on the scale. And so what the person does, for example, or they could get a bunch of apples already bagged up and put it on the scale, and then then they charge a certain amount of money for it. And so the person who is selling, they may take that bag of apples that the person wants to purchase. They might tuck that underneath and give them a bag of apples with less apples in it, and charging them the same amount of money, but really it being dishonest and cheating the individual. Now, this is something we have to be very careful, about not cheating people, talking about weights and measures and shortchanging people. And we have to be honest with people and be straight up with people. If I'm going to sell you a car, for example, then I let you know what's wrong with the vehicle. If you still want to buy it, okay, you're aware of what's wrong with the vehicle, then you go ahead and pay the price. But not you pay the price. I know these other things are wrong with it, but still I'm going to charge you for it. And then later on, you might ride a car, drive the car for a little while, and then next thing you know, those things start to break down or the car starts to fall apart on you. And I pretty much already knew this was gonna happen because I already knew the condition of the vehicle. So I wanted to mention that we don't cheat people. Just let them know straight up what's going on with the vehicle or the house or whatever it is that they're buying, so they can make the decision, yes, I want to pay, still want to pay the amount for that vehicle or whatever I'm buying, or let's negotiate the price. Since I'm going to have, I probably end up paying to get this thing repaired or fixed. So I just want to let you know, that if you, for example, if you're going to cheat people, talking about weights and measures, then Allah may restrict us or hurt us with famine and make famine happen in various, and you know famines happen all over the world. And maybe it may be due to people cheating other people. Also, it may be a severe calamity or the oppression of the people's ruler. And because the people cheated with weights and measure, then also their rulers may be rulers that may be harmful and cheat the people and hurt the people and be very aggressive towards the people. You may have rulers in a particular thing. For example, we have a lot of expensive items all over the place. And I know during COVID, is that for some reason prices really went up for eggs and for bread and other items and housing and cars. I don't even know what the connection between COVID and they made up something. And the rise in the prices, that is what happened, that all of a sudden prices, they rose up. So you also have the situation where people, for example, cheat other people, and then they may get some rulers or very oppressive rulers, or people that don't even deserve to be rulers, or to have the authority that they have. And so you have to be careful about that and pray to Allah that you don't be like that and maybe bring this upon you, that Allah bring upon you these oppressive rulers that gonna hurt you even more than you hurting people with your dishonest weights and dishonest measures. Also it mentioned, they do not withhold the zakat of their wealth, but rain will be withheld from the sky, and there and were it not for animals, no rain will fall on them. This is so interesting that people holding back Hezekiah, and they do this, and that Allah may hold back the rain, beneficial rain to the people, and Allah may let it rain just to feed the animal or to give the animal the nourishment they need, the wet nourishment that they need to survive. Otherwise, mankind and the way they cheat each other and shortchange each other and don't want to pay zakat, and so Allah could hold the rain down, but it doesn't because of the animals who have not done these things that I mentioned. Because you do have a situation where a person, zakat is a person pays a certain amount of money out of their wealth. So zakat, for example, if during Ramadan they pay a certain amount of money for members of their family. You have five members of your family, but you say pay zakat for those members of your family. And then you get the regular zakat, I just call it regular right now, and you pay 2.5% of the money that you save and you haven't spent in a year, and you should pay 2.5% of that money that you have not done anything with or spent over a year's period. And some people hold back on that. They say they make all kind of excuses not to pay it. They don't want to pay it. They try to pay less. They might even go back to the calculator, the person who's doing the calculation, and say, "Are you sure?" They may have like billions and billions of dollars. And I'm getting on the people that have billions. Allah bless you with that. And I pray that you spend it in the proper way on yourself or your family and those people in need. But I'm talking about people that say, you know, they have all this money and they want to keep a lot of money. And so they say, "Are you sure? Did you calculate it right? Do I really owe that much?" These may be people that are buying yachts. And there's nothing wrong with buying a yacht or buy several houses, several cars, or ride a plane from one country to another country just to eat breakfast in another country. They may do or have breakfast brought to them. They do all kinds of things that it just seems a little different. But if that's what they want to do with the money, do that with their money. But don't forget those other people that don't have breakfast, that are in need. Don't forget those individuals. And so the thing is, maybe those people will hold their zakat back that they owe to the people. And they'd have to pay it. And that's something that you don't pay if you don't want to, that they have to pay it. And of course, the more you make or the more you save, the more that you have to give up. And it's no limit. In other words, it's not just for poor people or what they call middle class people, and they're the only ones that pay zakat. All people pay zakat. If you're rich, you pay zakat. If you have money, and you have a little bit of money, but you have a certain amount of money that you save over a year's time, you haven't spent that money, so you pay zakat on that money. So that's what you have to do. And either you're going to pay now or you're going to pay later. You may think that you're getting away with it now, but you're not getting away with it now. In the world, you can see that some people are treated one way and another group of people are treated another kind of way. You may have some places where only those people who are not rich, they are taxed. They're the ones that basically hold up the country. And they use their money for wars or to keep the country going, and then the rich are just getting rich. And of course, rich, I'm not getting on your case, but these are the facts of life and the reality of life. And you may not like what I'm saying, but that's your problem, and that's my problem. That's the stance on Islam, and you can't do nothing about it. You can't keep Islam from growing and spreading. It is the fastest growing religion in the world. Fastest growing. Check your family members. Probably your family members are Muslim. They may not say it, but some of the members of your family may be Muslim. You may think you're getting away, but you can't get away from Islam. No matter how many people you may try to get rid of that practice Islam, you can't get rid of the idea of Islam, and that stays alive. And that's the thing you will not be able to kill, because Allah is not going to allow you to do that. So let me move on. Also, it mentioned that they do not break their covenant with Allah and His Messenger, but Allah will enable their enemies to overpower them and take some of what is in their hands, unless their leaders rule according to the book of Allah and seek all good from that which Allah has revealed, and Allah will cause them to fight one another. So just be careful. You keep trying to hold things back, and that Allah may make others your enemy. And keep in mind, my students, is that you have to establish things according to the book of Allah, according to Quran. And whatever country you may be, whatever town you may be, you establish things according to the Sharia, which is the rules, regulations, and the laws of Islam. That's where you are successful. If that does not happen, then you may have a situation where others may fight you and others may attack you and take from you, because you don't have the protection of Allah, because you're not ruling by the Sharia, or you're not ruling by the book of Allah. So I just wanted to mention those few things to you all pertaining to the agreement, a covenant of Allah. I can go into a little bit more details, but I will not go into that. I just hopefully you got the gist of what I'm saying, and these things are happening now. We're talking about immorality. We're talking about plagues or diseases that never happened before. We're talking about people cheating with weights and measuring, and people not paying zakat. These are the things that are happening, the famine, all the things that I mentioned. These are the things that are happening. I want to give you all the turmoils that take place because of, if this does not happen, then this will happen. So I just want to give you all a layout of, if these things over here are not done, then these things are going to happen. And so you just look at it for yourself. If certain things are not done, and that covenant with Allah, that agreement with Allah, that treaty with Allah is broken, then these other things are going to take place. And Allah is well aware of all that we do and all that we say. And so I want you all to keep in mind, and again, when I mention about Allah saying, "Am I not your Lord?" And then we're saying, "Yes, you are our Lord." So let me read this last thing when you're talking about covenant of Allah, and then I will stop. I'll try not to go into details and fight that temptation. So I just want you all to take this in for yourself. And you can re-listen to this episode if you miss anything from what I'm talking about. Narrated Anas, he is one of the Prophet's companions. The Prophet, may peace be upon him, said, "On the day of resurrection, the believers will assemble and say, 'Let us ask somebody to intercede for us with our Lord.' So they will go to Adam and say, 'You are the father of all the people, and Allah created you with His own hands and ordered the angels to prostrate to you and taught you the names of all things. So please intercede for us with your Lord so that He may relieve us from this place of ours.' Adam will say, I will not fit for this," meaning intercession for you. Then Adam will remember his sin, feel ashamed thereof, and will say, "Go to Noah, for he was the first apostle, and Allah sent to the inhabitants of earth." Or again, "Go to Noah, for he was the first apostle Allah sent to the inhabitants of earth." They will go to him, and Noah will say, I am not fit for this undertaking. He remembered his appeal to his Lord to do what he had no knowledge of, that he will feel ashamed thereof and will say, go to Khalil ar-Rahman, meaning Abraham. They will go to him and he will say, I am not fit for this undertaking. Go to Moses, the slave of whom Allah spoke directly and gave him the Torah. So they will go to him and he will say, I am not fit for this undertaking. And he will mention his killing of a person who was not a killer. And so he will feel ashamed of thereof before his Lord, and he will say, go to Jesus, Allah's slave, his apostle, and Allah's word and a spirit coming from him. Jesus will say, I am not fit for this undertaking. Go to Muhammad, the slave of Allah, whose past and future sins were forgiven by Allah. So they will come to me, and I will proceed till I will ask my Lord's permission, and I will be given permission. When I see my Lord, I will fall down in prostration, and he will remain in that state as long as he wishes, and then I will be addressed, Muhammad, raise your head, ask, and your request will be granted. Say, and your saying will be listened to. Intercede, and your intercession will be accepted. I will raise my head and praise Allah with a saying, i.e. meaning invocation. He will teach me, and then I will intercede. He will fix a limit for me to intercede for whom I will admit into paradise. Then I will come back again to Allah, and when I see my Lord, the same thing will happen to me. And when I will intercede, and Allah will fix a limit for me to intercede whom I will let into paradise. Then I will come back for a third time. And then I will come back for a fourth time and will say, none remains in hell but those whom the Quran has imprisoned, meaning in hell, and who have been destined to an eternal stay in hell. So I want to also mention to my students is that, but those who, it also mentioned by Abu Abdullah said, but those whom the Quran has imprisoned in hell refers to the statement of in Surah 2, chapter 16, Surah 29, they will dwell therein forever. So I want you all to keep all these things in mind. Of course, you go to chapter 16 of Quran, verse 29, and you will see they will dwell therein forever. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.